Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Today we speak about intercession through your spirit. The Bible text is from Romans chapter 8, verse 25 to 28. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Amen.
Amen.
Paul wrote, all things work together for good. Mm-hmm. What did he mean with that? Mm-hmm. He didn't say all things that happen to us in life are good. He was referring to all things that Jesus Christ, our intercessor, prayed through our spirits by the Holy Spirit. Verse 27 said, He that searches the heart and he that makes intercession is Christ. Also it says in verse 34, Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Jesus Christ is able to join together with our spirits and pray the way that God would. And God's way of praying will turn bad circumstances into good. This is the result of what is called praying in the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 and 15, Paul said, For if I pray with the tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I pray with my spirit, but I also pray with my understanding. I sing with the spirit, but I also sing with the understanding. There are times in life when the natural you don't know how to pray or what to pray for. But as you pray in the Spirit, out of your Spirit will come revelation. The Spirit of truth will give you insight into things you needed to know. The Holy Spirit can give you revelation into things you wouldn't know normally. This is part of the present day ministry of Jesus, showing us things to come. Sometimes he does it through a word of knowledge or through a word of wisdom. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't know what to do? Maybe things around you were happening so fast that you didn't know how to pray or didn't have time to pray. But somehow everything turned out right. And a few days later, you get a call from someone saying, I was impressed by the Spirit of God to pray for you a few days ago. The time or the day and the time that the person was led to pray for you was exactly the time when you were in great need of supernatural help. While I lived in London, there was a time when I was prevented from praying for a few days, but I felt really good. I wondered why, since I was not in touch with God. Then I met my friends, and they said, as a group, they were especially praying for me during this week. So I understood why I was feeling good. I read of a man of God who woke up during the night and had been impressed by the Spirit to pray for his brother in the Spirit. He prayed for 8 hours. He didn't know what he needed, but Jesus, our intercessor, he knew. By being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that man allowed Jesus to make intercession through him that night. He really didn't know what he was praying for. He just prayed, and he got a release in the Spirit. A few days later, he was informed that his brother was involved in a serious car accident, and the medical team was fighting for his life. In such a situation, you cannot pray in the natural. Yet Jesus, through the Spirit of truth in that man, made intercession for his brother. What he prayed about, the Spirit worked for the good. Many such experiences have happened in the past and are still happening today. Many times Jesus interceded by the Holy Spirit through someone who didn't even know what the circumstance was. The Holy Spirit prays through the Spirit of his children the way that God would pray. If the children don't respond and pray, serious trouble can happen to their friends and family. This is the ministry of Jesus, our intercessor. But if he cannot get some believers to yield to the Holy Spirit, he is limited in what he can do. For the body of Christ is the body Jesus has on earth today that he can work through. The physical body of Jesus gave him the authority to destroy the works of the devil when he was here on earth. Now Jesus is glorified, seated at the right hand of God. He is the head and we are the body. But now he makes intercession through us, for our physical body gives him the authority to do so. If Jesus is to pray for us today, he must do it through a body here on earth. You notice in the scriptures that Jesus didn't heal any sick and cast out any evil spirits after he was risen from the dead, until he ascended into heaven. He didn't do any miracles. He is still in the healing business, but he does it through believers, anointed by the Holy Spirit or by the prayer of faith. Ask yourself this question. Is it legal for Jesus to pray for us in heaven after being restored to divine power and glory? He is as much God as God is God, and as the Holy Spirit is God. If God were to pray for you, to whom would he pray? From what I see in the scriptures, I believe it is scripturally illegal for God to pray in heaven for us here on earth. He gave the earth lease to mankind and told him to subdue it and have dominion over it. We know the verses that God spoke in Genesis, but also in Psalm. This is why the present day ministry of Jesus as our intercessor is linked to the body of Christ here on earth. If the body of Christ, the church, will not respond to the unction of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, to pray in the Spirit for those who are in desperate need of supernatural help, then he is severely limited in his ministry here on earth. For you have a body, and you are a member of the body of Christ. That gives you authority here on earth today. Paul said, when we don't know how to pray as we ought to, the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities in our inability to comprehend how and what to pray for. There have been many tragedies which would have never happened if the body of Christ had not had been more sensitive to the intercessory ministry of Jesus, allowing him to make intercession through the Spirit here on earth. Since he is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, he has to do it through someone who is here on earth. We, as believers, are the body of Christ on earth today, to which Jesus has delegated authority. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 19, it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore. Mark wrote in this way, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 20, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall be cured. And verse 19 and 20, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Mark 16 is a confirmation of that authority being executed or exercised by believers. Then in 1 Corinthians 12, 27, Paul said, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. You are the body that Christ must use on earth, for you have a God-given authority here on earth. In Matthew 18, Jesus said, if two of you agree together here on earth, the agreement of prayer must be on earth. It seems that he has to do it through a legal resident here. You are that person that can be used to stop the works of the devil on earth. Heavenly intervention is available to us, but that request must come through someone who is here on earth. Therefore, it was legal for God to anoint Jesus with the Holy Spirit and healing power because Jesus was born here on earth, and that body gave him the authority on earth. Jesus is the Son of God, but he was a man. It was after he was baptized in the River Jordan that the anointing of God came upon him, and it was for the purpose of destroying the works of the devil. Let's look again in Luke, the fourth chapter, where Jesus stood up in the synagogue and read from the prophet Isaiah concerning himself. In Luke 14:4-19, which says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus was a legal resident with earthly authority, but God's anointing gave him the ability to destroy the works of the devil. The first sermon that Jesus preached was in a synagogue in his hometown, and religious people tried to kill him, but he passed through their midst and went to Capernaum. There in the synagogue there was a man who had been who had the spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God." Here we see that the demon was challenging the authority of Jesus. You would have thought the demon would have said, "He's a false prophet," or "Don't believe him." But he was a demon witnessing for Jesus. Why in the world would a demon witness for Jesus, saying he was the Holy One of God? In his own words, the demon was actually saying to Jesus, "I know who you are, and it's illegal for you to cast me out because you are God. You gave dominion of this earth to men, so you can't cast me out. It's illegal. For the scripture says it's impossible for God to lie. You have to violate your word if you cast me out." Let me paraphrase what Jesus said. He said, "Shut your mouth and get out." The demon was confused, but he obeyed the command of Jesus. Matthew has another account of the demons challenging the authority of Jesus to cast them out before time. It says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, "When he came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men met him, coming out of the tombs, so fierce that no one could pass that way. And behold, they cried out, 'What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the time?'" It is evident that the demons were challenging the authority of Jesus to cast them out, for it wasn't time yet. What time were they referring to? The time when this world comes to an end, and the devil and his evil spirits will be cast into the fiery lake. They knew that there was a time set, And they knew that God would not change that time. It's already said. But they didn't realize that Jesus was not operating as God. He was operating as a man anointed with the Holy Spirit. It was perfectly legal for him to destroy the works of the devil at any time by the anointing of God. Satan couldn't handle one man operating totally by the Spirit. Jesus walked perfect and upright under the old covenant. You have to know Jesus was living in the Old Testament, not in the New. He was walking perfect and upright under the old covenant, and that was more than Satan could handle. Every time he would come against Jesus in the way of temptation. But Jesus would say, "It is written," quoting only what God said in the Word. These three words showed Satan's kingdom beyond repair. Satan knew what Jesus came to do, so he tried to get him sidetracked. By quoting scripture out of context, he tried to deceive Jesus into jumping off the temple to his death. Satan's purpose was to destroy Jesus' physical body, for he was to be the final sacrifice. But Satan couldn't stand against the word of God that Jesus spoke, so he departed from him for a season. In Hebrews 10:5, we read that Jesus is the last sacrifice of the old covenant. Jesus put away sin by sacrificing himself. Jesus was a cure for our sin problem. The physical body of Jesus gave him authority to operate on this earth. It gave him authority to execute judgment and justice for us and against the devil. Acts 10:38 says, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Jesus had the authority to do it as a man, but he didn't have the ability to destroy the works of the devil until God anointed him. It's also important for you to understand the authority your physical body has here on earth. With the authority, the body of Christ, the church, can operate in its full potential as God intended. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, it says, "So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Things, beings in heaven, beings on earth, and beings under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. For many years, I thought the scripture said, every knee shall bow to Jesus. But this is not so. But it says, every knee shall bow to the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. We have authority in heaven and in earth and under the earth. The name of Jesus gives us authority in the three worlds. Jesus was born as a man, and this is vital to understanding our authority here on earth. We must understand Satan has been defeated by Jesus Christ, but still he is a terrorist and uses every opportunity to attack God's children. In the Revelation we read that Jesus already won the battle. The end is already established. The devil is defeated. And God is exalted. And we are more than conquerors through Jesus, our intercessor.